Amen, man. We're glad that you're here today, and we're in week three of this series called Rattled, and it's a study in the book of James. Every so often throughout the year, I'll take a book and the Bible, and we'll just kind of go through it together, and I love James because it's such a practical book, probably one of the most practical teachings in all of the scripture, and it has a really kind of relevancy in a big way to today. The very first verse in chapter one of the book of James says this, that it introduces himself, James, he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, which there's so much power in that one verse if you were here week one. The fact that he would say that, because he is Jesus' stepbrother. And so he says, not only am I his servant, but he's my Lord. Come on, there's great proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. If you can convince your sibling to serve you, come on somebody, you gotta be God. And then he says this, to the churches scattered, to the tribes that are scattered. And so the book of James was written in a time of persecution, a time of oppression, when the church was being persecuted greatly, and they were scattered, and it kind of is fitting for this time. Some of you are in campuses, some of you are scattered. Come on, somebody. I'm grateful for technology, though, that we can at least bring the word to you in this way, but it's so fitting for the time we're in, and I want us to dive in today. I've got a lot to share with you. If you're a note taker, get ready to go. If you're not, get ready to go. You need to write this down. And I'm just going to forewarn you, this may be the most challenging of the entire series. And of all 4 weeks, this may be the most challenging, but I believe it could produce the most fruit in your life if you'll receive what God wants to say. If you'll just go, I'm going to open my heart today. It may step on my toes a little bit, but I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to hear what God wants to say to me. I think it could change your life. And so we're going to jump right in. If you're with me, say amen. All right, James chapter 1, we're going to go back to a verse in chapter 1. He says this, if you claim to be religious, but you don't have control of your, come on, somebody shout it out, of your what? Of your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. James is a little subtle in how he says things. Just, he doesn't want to come right out and say, are y'all with me? Like, that's pretty strong, but this is what we're going to talk to about today is the power of our tongue, the power of our words. James goes so strong as to say that you can claim to be religious. You can show up at church. You can sing the songs. You can go to the small group. You can even serve on a team. But if you can't control this little part of your body, if you can't get a hold of your tongue, and I couldn't think of a more relevant message for the season that we are in and the time that we are in as a people. If you can't get control of your tongue, he's saying, listen, you're fooling yourself. He's saying your religion is worthless. It's not of value. If your religion doesn't have the power, if your relationship with God doesn't have the power to control this little thing in your mouth, then you may want to check what you really got, is what James is saying. So I want to talk to us about that today, all right? And are y'all with me? Come on, we're going to put smiles on our face and receive the word with gladness. Are y'all with me? I want to show you this, number one, and we're just going to go through James chapter 3 a little bit, and then I want to give you some points of application. I always want you to walk away with, so what? I want you to be able to answer that question. All right, I got the message, but so what? How does this apply to my everyday tomorrow morning? I want to give you that. Number one, write these down. I want you to know this. Number one, my words will lead my life. James teaches us first that our words will lead our life. Look what he says in James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He said, we can control very large horses by putting a small bit into their mouths. By controlling their mouth, we can turn the whole animal whatever direction we want it to go. Or take ships as an example. A tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So he's saying this one little thing can lead your life in a certain direction, or just like a little bread, little small bit in a horse's mouth can lead the horse, or a really small rudder can turn the whole ship. He says, listen, your tongue is that way. In other words, your tongue can lead your life. That just like a small rudder can lead a ship, your tongue can lead your life. Let me say it this way. You are often living out the words you have spoken. And the same is true on the words you've received, the words that have been spoken over your life. You're often living out the words that have been spoken over your life. Words are powerful things. If you walk around your entire life going, I can't, I won't, I'm not able to, then guess what? You can't and you won't and you will not be able to, because your words will lead your life. And often some of you are living out the words that have been spoken over your life. Someone said something to you about what you couldn't do, what you would never become, how you would never measure up, and you're living out those words. Some of you, you're living out the words that you maybe don't come out of your mouth, but they're rattling around in your head all the time. You're living out these words. It was true for the nation of Israel in Numbers. The 12 spies go in. You may be familiar with this story. They come back out. 10 of them are like, there's no way that we can do it. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able. Somebody shout, we're well able. We're well able to take possession, to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him, the other 10, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Listen to me. In your life, with your words, you have two choices. You can live a well able life or a not able life. It's a choice for you to make. Are y'all with me today? Your words will lead your life. I'm not talking about just positive thinking and self. No, I'm talking about your words become the prophecy of your life. If you constantly speak death over your life, the power of life and death is in your tongue. If you constantly speak death, guess what? That's what you'll constantly get in your life. If you constantly speak life over you, then guess what? You will get some life over you. Are y'all with me today? There is power in your tongue. Just like the rudder controls a whole ship, your tongue has been controlling your whole life. Let me say it this way. Maybe this will help you. We shape our words, and then our words shape us. We shape our words. You speak your words. You have a choice what you say, but then your words begin to shape you. And so your words lead your life. I want you to get this deep in your spirit that your words are leading your life. Because some of you are leading your life into places that are unhealthy and leading your life into living less than or below the potential of God in your life because of the words that are coming out of your mouth. And I know it may be hard because some of you may have come from such a negative environment that it's hard to break old habits. And some of you have come from such beat down environments where words of life were never spoken over you and words of encouragement were never spoken. So you're only doing what you know and you're only living out what you've seen and you're only reproducing what's been modeled, and that's just the way it is. I understand it'll be hard to break that, but I'm just saying your words lead your life. So if you want to go in a different direction or you want a different destination, you may need to start changing what's coming out of your mouth. If you're with me, say amen. Thought number two from what James shows us is this, is that my words can wreck my world. Not only do my words lead my life, but my words can also wreck my world. They can tear my world down. Look what James says. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. I would also say in our day and age, the tongue, you could also add in there the thumb. Don't get caught just because you ain't saying it verbally. That doesn't mean you're not saying it. Are you with me? So the tongue or the thumb makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. James is saying, you can, with a spark, you can burn down an entire forest. And with one word out of your mouth, you can tear down an entire portion of your life. Your words can wreck your world. And what he's trying to tell us is get control of that. Are you following me? But we live in a society, we live in a culture that encourages a comment. Y'all still with me? We all right? We live in a culture that like this, comment on that. And so we think we have to comment on everything that is a comment. And we think we need to say everything that we're thinking. Come on, somebody. Some of us need to keep, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. No, keep all your mind. I don't know about you. I need every bit of it that I have. I don't need to give anybody part of it. I'm doing good. The older I get, the more I feel like some of it's slipping out. And what James is saying is that just like a little spark can set a whole forest on fire, and if you haven't seen this in your life in the last 12 months, I don't know where you've been, but one word, one phrase, one thing can wreck, it can wreck your integrity. One word. Because you said something, because you flew off at the handle, because you said something without tempering yourself and thinking through what you were saying. You can ruin a relationship because of something that comes out of your mouth. Are you following me? You can lose your job because of something that came out of your mouth. And it's about controlling, it's about bridling, it's about taming this thing in our mouth that can get so out of hand sometimes in our life. And one word can wreck your world. And James is saying, you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware that sometimes what you think is, well, I'm just going to speak my mind. No. What James is saying, you don't always have to speak your mind. Hello, somebody. You don't have to respond to every headline. I've had people ask me over the last, Pastor, are you going to respond to this on social? Are you going to respond to that? I was like, no, the headlines are not controlling my social media. Are you following me? If I feel like it's a godly thing I need and the Holy Spirit tells me, I'll go do it, but I don't need to say everything I'm thinking. Everything I'm thinking isn't godly. Are y'all with me? Half the church would leave if I said everything that went through my mind. Are y'all following me? I love what Proverbs says. Look at this. Proverbs says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Some of y'all need to write that down. It needs to be a life verse. What's your life verse? Keep my mouth shut. Found in Proverbs. It's my life verse right there. In other words, you keep talking long enough, there's going to be sin in the conversation. That's what he's saying. Have some sense. So he's talking about duration. Are you following me? Duration, how much I talk. I don't need to say everything. I don't need to comment on everything that's out there. Right? I don't need to. But he's also, we need to think about direction of where I talk. That I take my comments in the right direction. I don't need to talk to everybody, but I do need to talk to somebody. I take it to God. I take it to God before I need to take it to anybody else. Are you following me? God, is this holy what I'm thinking? God, is this right the way I'm thinking? God, the way I'm feeling, does this honor you? God, is this right? God, does this help me love you and love others well? Are y'all with me? You need the direction I'm taking. We'd be a whole lot better if we were people. We'd be a whole lot better if we were people that did this. If we pass negatives up and we pass praise down. Come on. If you're going to clap, clap. I knew this would be the one in the series. Next week it's going to feel a lot better. But this one may help you the most. We pass negatives up. And instead in our culture, we do the opposite. We make sure everybody knows the negative and we don't give praise to anybody. We don't speak a word of encouragement. We don't speak a word that lifts somebody up. This is what I tell my team. I'm like, if you got problems, take them up to someone that can actually solve it. Because if you're taking it sideways or down, that's what the Bible calls gossip. The first time, I'll keep telling you what I tell them. The first time, I'm going to assume it was ignorance. The second time, I'm going to assume it was a choice, and then we're going to have another conversation. May the Lord watch over me and thee while you leave us. Negatives up. What if we were to pass negatives up and praise around? How would it change the conversation around us? Are you following me? Let me keep going. Number three is this. Is James going to let us know is that my words always reveal my heart. Watch this. It says this. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. So the same tongue that you just said one word from you is the same tongue that you look at your boss and go, you idiot, I can't. He said, we praise our Father and we curse human beings who were made in the image of God. He said, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursings, my brothers and sisters. This should not be. Shouldn't be this way. God, you're so good, I hate you. He said, it shouldn't be that we're worshiping with the same tongue that we're cursing. We're honoring God with the same tongue that we're tearing others down with. Hello, somebody. He said, this should not be. And then he asked this question. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? He says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Obviously, he's giving us contrasts that are impossible. Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, what he's saying is that the source isn't your tongue, it's deeper within. And he's saying that fresh water can't come out of the same place that salt water comes out of. And so here's the deal. The real problem isn't my tongue, it's my heart. So the real problem isn't I just need to bite my tongue. No, I need to transform my heart. Because if I fix my heart, it'll fix my mouth. Hello, somebody. Y'all with me? If I fix my heart, it'll fix my mouth. The thing isn't I just need to put my thumbs down. No, if I fix my heart, my thumbs will be fine. I just need to bite my tongue a little more and not say what I'm thinking, and I just need to be better. I just need to know that these people I can talk to and these people I can't talk to. No, that's called lack of integrity. It's not integrous. No, I need to fix my heart, because my heart, then I can just be me no matter where I am if my heart's fixed. Are y'all with me? And so how do I fix my heart? Well, James tells us in chapter 3, he says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures are being tamed. And they have been by mankind. But listen to this, but no human can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So here's my word to you. You can't fix it. Have a great Sunday. Now, here's the deal. You can't fix it. Let me say it again. You can't fix it. If you have a problem with your tongue, you can't fix it. That's why you need God. This is the difference between Christianity and all the other religions of the world. We believe that we serve a God that can transform us from the inside out. Not just trying harder, not just get on the treadmill of faith and run harder and put the incline and put the knobs up on my Peloton and maybe God will like me. No, we believe we serve a God that through his spirit transforms me from the inside out. I become a different person. Not a fake. I become transformed. And so how am I going to fix my tongue if my tongue is really a heart issue? Then I've got to invite God. Number one, I got to invite God to change my heart. These are the real practical things. I'm going to give you three of them. Are you with me? Say amen. I'm going to ask God to change my heart. Look what Jeremiah says. He says, I'll give them a heart to know me, for I'm the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. Your transformation won't come because you try harder. I'm gonna turn over a new leaf. I'm gonna be better. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I should say that. I don't know if I can say that. No. God, I invite you in, Lord, transform my heart. If I've got a foul mouth, God, transform my heart. God, if I've got a mouth that speaks hate, God, transform my heart, God. I invite you in, God. Change my heart. I love this prayer in Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's a great prayer. That's an easy, like, here's your prayer. Invite God in. God, created me a clean heart, God. Give me the right kind of heart so I speak the right kind of words. I love this prayer in Psalms 19. I often pray it. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Man, how would it change your life if you just begin to pray that? God, every morning that you got it, Lord, today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because see, you can't disconnect the two. You cannot disconnect the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, because the meditation of your heart will eventually show itself in the words of your mouth. It is a heart issue. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God, I'm keenly aware that you are with me all day, that you're walking everywhere I walk, that you're in every conversation that I'm in. And God, I want the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable before you. God, I want the typing of my thumbs and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, oh God, my rock and my redeemer. How would it change your life? How would it change your conversations? But Pastor, I should be able to say whatever I want. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but I now live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself up for me. I don't know if you know, but Christianity, you gave up all your rights when you said yes to Jesus. I have a right to speak my mind. No, you don't. You have the right to speak the words of heaven. You're an ambassador of Christ into the earth. You have a right to say what he says. I don't have an opinion. I don't have a thought. I speak the words of my master. Jesus said, I only do and say what I see the Father doing. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. I want them to be acceptable in your sight. My rock and my redeemer. Number two, very practical. Number two is put a filter on what I allow in my heart. If I'm gonna transform my heart, I need to invite God to change me, but I also need to go, all right, I need to put a filter on what I allow into my heart. There, you have two gates of your life. I don't know if you know this. You have the ear gate and you have the eye gate. And some of you leave your gates wide open and you let anything come into your house. What are you seeing? What are you reading? What are you letting into your heart? What are you listening to? What are you letting into the ears? Because it's getting in your heart. No, it's not. I'm just kind of perusing, looking at, you know, it's not a big deal to me. It doesn't affect me in that way. Keep believing that. Keep believing that as you're boiled, slowly the heat is turned up. Slowly the enemy corrupts your heart. Because it doesn't bother me that way. That music, I know this is old school preaching. That music doesn't really bother me that way. I like the beat, not the lyrics. But you could tell me all the lyrics. I know this is old school, but it's foul and it doesn't need to get in your heart. It spews hate and it doesn't need to get into your heart. Well, I just like to catch the news to check up on. Okay, but how much of it are you letting into your heart? Because you sound more like that news anchor than you do Jesus. I'm just saying put a filter on it. If Beyonce said put a ring on it, I'm just saying put a filter on it. You know what I'm saying? Listen to this, because, and man, I don't know how many times my parents told me this, that over out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth is speaking. That's why when people go, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. And it didn't come from the bottom of the barrel, it came from the overflow. Because when a cup gets bumped, what spills out isn't from the bottom of the glass. Hey, I'm trying to help you today. Every so often, I got to pastor you a little bit. Come on, somebody. And here's why the Bible tells us the good man brings good things out because good was stored in. And the evil man brings evil out because evil was stored in. If you're not filtering what is coming in, you can unknowingly at times allow evil to be stored in. And then when something comes out, you'll surprise yourself. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Well, what filters have you put in place to make sure the evil isn't coming in? Look what Proverbs said. It says, above all else. That's a strong statement. Above all else, above gaining wealth, above relationships, above career, above school pursuits, above hobbies, above everything, what? Guard your heart. Why? Because everything flows from it. Everything flows from your heart. Guard your heart. Guard what you let into your mind. Guard the voices you allow around you. Guard the people that you allow to speak into your life. Are you with me? Because everything flows out of your heart. Your attitude flows out of your heart. Your perspective flows out of your heart. Your words flow out of your heart. Whether you speak life or speak death flows out of your heart. Whether or not you are encouraging or discouraging flows out of your heart. Anger comes out of your heart. Hatred comes out of your heart. Love comes out of your heart. Purity comes out of your heart. Are you with me? Guard your heart because everything comes out of it. Put a filter on it. Invite God in. Put a filter on it because everything comes out of your heart. Because at the end of the day, it's not a tongue issue, it's a heart issue. So we say, guard your heart. Finally, number three, you writing these down? Number three is decide to speak words of life. Decide to be a person that speaks words of life. And some of you, this may become a discipline before it is part of who you are. But decide you're going to speak words of life. So three thoughts. I'm going to invite God to change my heart. I'm going to put a filter on the things I allow into my heart. And I'm going to decide I'm going to speak words of life. So I'm going to give you real quick five words of life as we wrap up. Are you with me? Let me give you this to you real fast. Five words of life we're going to speak. Number one, we're going to speak words of affection. We're going to speak words of affection. I love this verse in Matthew. It's at the baptism of Jesus. It says, at that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and light and lightning and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said three things. Two times we get this and at the Mount of Transfiguration, what God says to Jesus, says, this is my son whom I love and I'm well pleased. It's my son whom I love and I'm well pleased. Jesus and the Father talked a lot. The Bible only lets us know about two times. And both times God says this. I just wonder if it wasn't what he said to him every day. You're my son, I love you, and I'm proud of you. You're my son. I love you, and I'm proud of you. Some of you have a hard time giving love away to people. I gotta know you for a while. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourself. Some of you, somebody will say, hey, love you, bro, and you're like. Now, get comfortable with speaking words of affection. My son's on the front row. You're my son, I love you, and I'm proud of you. You're my church family. You're my family. I love you. Let me look in that camera. I love you, and I'm proud of you. I don't know what you did this week. I don't know what choices, but you made the choice to be here today, and I'm proud of you. You're doing better than you think you are. You need to get comfortable with words of affection. Number two, words of praise. I'm not talking about the praise that only God deserves. I'm talking about this. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It's like a beautiful thing to people. You can just see people lift. Words of praise. Praise is about who they are, not what they do. Won't you be somebody that just, I mean, wouldn't it blow away people if you walked into work tomorrow and you go, I just want you to know, like, you're such a caring person, you're kind, you're gracious. How would that change, like, just the environment around you? Just decide, I'm gonna speak words of praise. Are y'all with me? Let me keep going. I don't have much time. Number three, words of encouragement. Man, that's what I hope I do every week to you, is that I put courage in you. That's what encouragement means. It puts courage in you, that you leave encouraged with some courage to go further. The Bible says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? For building others up. For building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What if you just took that one verse as it relates to your tongue and go, you know what? If it doesn't build somebody up, I'm not gonna say it. How would that change your world around? I'm just gonna speak words of encouragement, that I'm gonna speak words that build others up. How many of you know that everybody needs a little building up? Well, Pastor, they may get a big head. If you knew the battle that went on between people's ears, you'd never say that again. I used to have people tell me, they'd say, Pastor, I'm not gonna tell you that message was good because you get a big head. I was like, if you knew the devil I fought all week to get here, you'd never say that again. People need words. Come on, people need words of encouragement spoken into them. Number four, they need words of healing. Listen, the Bible says the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. What if you decided you're gonna be someone that speak words of healing over people? People are isolated and lonely and anxious and depressed. And it's another pandemic that's not talked about while this one is going on. And they need people in their life that'll speak words of healing into them. And then finally, what if you determined that you'd be a person that spoke words of faith? That you spoke words of faith. The Bible says about Abraham, it said, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Abraham had the faith to see things that were not as though they were. What if you determined that in people's life, you were just gonna speak life into them, that you're gonna speak faith into them, that you were gonna speak things about them that they don't even see about them yet? Come on, I'm not talking about just flippantly throwing things out, but what if you just determined you're gonna be a person that speaks faith into other people? No, I believe you can do that. No, I believe God can do that through you. No, I believe there's more in you than you see in yourself. That's why I love our college students. I love going around to them going, there's a call of God on your life. The hand of God is on your life. I see things that you don't even see in yourself. There's potential in you that you don't even know is on the inside of you. Come on, what if we as a church, I can't control every church, I can't even control this one, but what if we just said, LifePoint Church, we're gonna now be known as people that speak words of life, that we're gonna be people of faith and people of encouragement, people of healing. Come on, somebody. How would it change the world around us? Yeah, I'm talking about real change. I'm not talking about I text something, now I change something. I posted something because I changed something. No, we changed something because we walked up into our job and we had words of life for people. And we walked up into our school and we had words of life for people. And in our neighborhood, we spoke words of life over people. We lifted the atmosphere around us. There's power in your tongue. But your tongue isn't the problem. It's the heart. So the way we change our heart is we invite God, God, come change my heart. we have a part to do. We need to put some filters on what we're allowing into our heart. Because from the overflow of our heart, it's what our mouth says. And then we've got to make the decision. And it may be uncomfortable. It may be a little awkward. It may be awkward to walk up to a friend and go, love you. But you can do it. It may be awkward for you to walk up to somebody you know and go, believe in you, bro. Then punch them and walk away and like, it'll feel a little more manly. Dads, how would it change your sons if you looked at them and said, I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're mine? How would it change your daughters if you looked at them and said, God's hand is on you. You're worth somebody waiting for. You're valuable to me. You're a treasure in my sight. How would it change? It starts in here before it comes out here. And if you don't like what's coming out here, start working on what's in here. Will you pray with me? At every location, who's joining us online, I don't know if you know this, but you can't change your heart without the help of God. And the starting point for some of you may not be inviting God to change your heart or putting a filter or just being better at speaking words of life. It may be inviting God into your life for the first time. Because he can't help you change your heart if you don't know him. I'm not talking about religion or church attendance or any of those things. I'm talking about personally knowing God. Knowing him like you know your best friend. Being in relationship with him. See, the Bible says that we all have this thing called sin, and it disconnected us from God before you were ever born. And so Jesus came. The whole reason he came to die on the cross wasn't to give us a holiday to celebrate. It was to restore relationship so that we could know him personally. Not just know about him, but know him. And the Bible is very clear. It says, if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. We will be restored. That relationship will be reunited. And the way we receive it is by faith. It's not of your good works. It's not of you doing a whole bunch of nice things. And God made it that way so that you don't get the credit, the Bible says. But it's a gift. It's free. It's the most beautiful exchange. He gives you forgiveness of sin. You give him all of your mess. He gives you grace, mercy. And so if that's you today, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me, I know in my heart, things aren't right between me and God. I'm not confident. I'm not confident in this moment that I know him in the way that you're talking about. If you'd say that's me, in a moment, we're gonna pray together. I wanna invite you to join in this prayer. There's nothing magical in the prayer, but if you mean it from your heart to God's heart, then according to God's word, you will be saved. Your life will be changed. Your sins will be forgiven in this moment. You can have the confidence of that. And so with no one looking around, I'm gonna count to three. And if you say, Pastor, that's me today. I know in my heart I'm far from God and I don't wanna be. I'm just gonna ask you to shoot your hand up. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. I'm not gonna point you out. No one's gonna ask you to stand. I just wanna know who I'm praying with at every location. And if you're online, just let us know in the chat. But you say, Pastor, that's me. There's nobody looking around. This is a very personal moment for so many. Would you just shoot your hand up on three? One, two, three. You just shoot it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Church, I'm going to ask you to pray out loud with me for the benefit of those praying for the first time at every location. And even if you can, no matter where you're watching from today, would you just pray this with me? Say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those who just made that decision. And if you raised your hand, I'm gonna ask you to take one step, very simple step, and it's this. I want you to let us know about that decision today. We wanna celebrate with you, and nobody's gonna show up at your house or anything. We just wanna put a free gift into your hand. A couple years ago, I wrote a book called Fully Alive, and it's all about how to begin this journey of faith and what all this means and how to take next steps, how to continue to grow. We don't want it to be religion. We want it to be a relationship between you and God. And so there's an easy way for us to get that to you. If you would just simply text the keyword LCS to 94,000 at one of our campuses, or if you're watching from anywhere in the world, and we will get that in the mail to you this week. We want to come alongside you, help you in this journey of faith, see you become everything that God wants you to be. We believe God wants you to know him, but not only that, I want you to find freedom from all your yesterdays, discover your purpose, and then go make a difference in the world around you. We love you so much. If you found today's message helpful, feel free to rate, review, or even share it with a friend. Also want to encourage you to think about partnering with us. You know, together through your giving, we can take this message around the world and make a difference in the lives of so many people.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you would like to partner with us, you can do so by clicking the link in the description, visiting lifepoint.org/give, or via text messaging on your mobile device. Just text the dollar amount of your gift and keyword LifePoint to 45777. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart.